what you waiting on? Check checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show, turn your radio on. Kelsey just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium, I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother, make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students, nah. Everyone can do it, do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative, maneuver through it. You know it's fast only, you know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony, you look at me every Monday. After kickoff on Sunday, I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Deli, shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Deli, you know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational, like my big homie Tony.
Welcome, welcome. This is Tony Sands on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands, alongside my main man from 24/7 Sports, the busiest man in the world when it comes to recruiting high school. Listen, every college in the country know him. Every college in the country know him. They know him as the hardest working man in recruiting. My main man, Ryan Bartow, will join me here at this pregame show at Dillard High School. We're kicking off the season, Ryan.
It's great that ball is finally back. You have those months of spring ball. You have the whole summer, a 7-on-7. Now you get the pads on. You get to hit somebody else. What better place than in paradise, in talent heaven? There's over 40 Division I players in this game tonight. St. Thomas Aquinas, obviously over 30 of them. Not to be outdone, Dillard's whole defensive line is stocked with D1 guys that can go anywhere they want. It's a great way to kick ball off on a Thursday night, and what, ironically, is a loaded weekend.
I mean, when you say loaded, not only here, though, Ryan, not only here, throughout the state of Florida.
Yes.
Throughout the state of Florida, it is a busy weekend when it comes to kickoff classic games. Some games count. Some games don't, like this game that we are here at tonight, Dillard and St. Thomas. It's pretty much not a game that's count against them because it is the kickoff classic, but it is one of the premier games in the state. They got this ranked in the state of Florida as the number two best game in the state of Florida when it comes to the kickoff classics.
And tomorrow night, I think a game that is probably
the number one game in the state of Florida. That's the number one game.
Booker T. Washington, that's won how many state titles in a row? They have Ice Harris back on the sidelines after he went to the college game for a while. They're stacked on both sides of the ball with Division I talent. They'll be in Plantation against American Heritage, who I think is one of the top 10 or 12 high school teams in the country this year. Absolutely loaded with talent. Probably 9 to 10 4- or 5-star recruits on that roster. I think that's the best game of the weekend. I also think that game tomorrow night is probably the best game in the country, regardless.
Regardless of when you look at two programs and you're looking at American Heritage, that's a program that's been on the rise the last 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. And then you look at a Booker T program, historically have state championships out the ears.
Yes.
And now these two meet this early.
Yeah. And plus, when you say, oh, it's not going to count for the wins or loss, tell the coaches, down here it does.
South Florida, it doesn't make a difference.
Yes. And don't tell those kids it's not going to count because they are looking to get the best video they can.
Yes.
They're trying to get more offers.
They are.
I mean, they have that in their DNA to always compete. That's what I love down here. So, I mean, you may not count it in the wins and losses, but they're not going to back down.
No, they're not backing down.
Plus, both those schools have great depth, too. So when they go to their twos and threes, some of them have D1s in those guys.
And that's that. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're younger guys.
You got to figure, we'll be seeing these guys on Saturdays, some of these guys in a year to come. And we're going to get into that later.
Yeah, almost all of them.
We're going to get into it later with the DBs. We're going to break down how loaded South Florida is when it comes to DBs later in the show. But, Brian, we got to get into a little bit of the hottest topic going today in sports happened in Rio de Janeiro. I got to get into this a little bit. Everybody wants to know. With Ryan Locke and his buddies, it has come to us. And I'm going to break it down timeline. August 13th, the indoor swimming event was concluded. August 14th, Ryan Locke mom goes out, tell USA Today that her son was robbed at gunpoint. And that same day, you know, it follows that it was Ryan Locke, Gunnar Betts, and Jack Cogger, they go concoct the story that Ryan Locke and the guys were robbed. Coming to find out, the U.S. Olympic Committee releases a statement and saying that the swimmers are safe and that they are cooperating with authorities at that time.
Yep.
August 14th continue. They have to come back and recant that statement from what they found out today. And as we found out today, they pulled. Ryan Locke was able to get out the country. But they pulled Gunner and Jack's passport and told them, unless they speak to the British, to Rio de Janeiro authorities, they cannot leave. Now, now tell me this. You know, a lot of people are looking at those two and say, okay, well, they snitched. They snitched on Ryan Locke. I'm wondering. Now, Ryan, you done got out the country. You did it smart. You said, let me hard tell. So they can't pull his passport. They can't hold him in a country.
Yeah.
Because you can't leave once they pull your passport because you can't get through customs.
Yes.
They tell it, okay, the story was concocted. You know, we were drunk and we pretty much kicked down the door of a bathroom and we jumped on a security guard. And I guess they goes back to the village. And this is where it gets so crazy. Ryan Locke, 30-something years old, you got to go and tell your mom that you was robbed. I don't know if you didn't have permission by your mom at 32 to be out or what. But I'm finding that hard to believe that a 32-year-old man would have to go and tell his mom, you know, hey, listen, they robbed me. Because I was thinking when I first heard the story, well, maybe they needed to be back in the village at a certain time, and they had to come up with some concocted story to justify why they were not in the village.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case. They was done with their stuff.
I mean, this is another example. And you have that. It happened in 72 in Munich.
Yes.
It happened in 96 in Atlanta. When you bring that many different cultures, different people
yes.
into one place and try to mix it all together, it's not going to all be peaches and cream. And
never.
I still think the Olympic Games is one of the, as just a lover of pure sport, it's one of the best events in the country.
Or
in the world.
It is. And, you know, some of the basketball players spoke highly of the Olympics. And some of them put the Olympics over.
Which I love.
Their basketball.
Because they have pride for their country. And
exactly.
You see the purest sense of sports in all those realms, whether it's basketball, gymnastics, track and field, swimming. I mean, and then they prepare for 8 to 16 years to try to get all these facilities ready, to try to get enough
yes.
security.
Yes.
You can only do so much. We see examples of stuff like this in Super Bowls
yes.
in our own country.
You guys go out, get drunk, get busted with prostitution. Some guys, you remember when the Super Bowl was here with the Raiders,
yep.
the center got lost.
Yeah.
He was nowhere to be found. But, and you find these each and every sporting event. Behind it, there is some type of story that goes on. And you know, some people say, would it put a tarnish on the Olympics, on the events that's going to happen tonight? And I don't think so, because you got Usain Bolt, who everybody wants to see. So I think that's not even – I think it'll be a story that'll pass. This story will pass.
Yes.
Because now – but does that hurt him in endorsements?
Somewhat, because you are dealing – especially in that sport,
yes.
you are dealing with an international game. It's not big
yes.
in this country where most of the big money is made. One thing that absolves it in this country, I know, and we saw this when 9/11 happened, what was one way to get everybody's mind and everything off the events? They still had high school football.
Yes.
High school football, I think,
love
is
it.
As most pure sport as you can
love
find in
it.
America. It brings communities together.
Yes.
It's still pure in most sense on any level. So I think that's a thing that can get people's mind off stuff like this and get them thinking and believing in one of our favorite things to do in this country, and that's high school football.
And Ryan, as we speak about high school football, you just came back. You was on the west coast of the state of Florida.
Yes.
Let the listeners know, how many schools did you have to hit, and how many days do we have to hit these schools? And let them that way, because I tell them you're the hardest working man
yes.
in this business.
Well, yesterday I just did 6, and I was done. I left at 5 in the morning, drove over Alligator Alley, hit 2 schools in Naples, hit 4 schools in Fort Myers, and got done by 1 o'clock. So I was ahead of the curve. There was good tempo going on there. What I do is similar to a college coach, what they do in the spring. I go through 175 schools in the spring, And then I do the same thing, and I'll start this again on Monday. I go through 175 to 180 schools in the fall. So we're talking 350 schools. Nobody really does that in my industry, whether it's ESPN, Rivals, Scout, 24/7. One, the reason why I do that is so you can see these kids in person. You can do it the right way. Go through the high school coach. You can see their legitimate size. You can see them share that common bond, build relationships in person the way it's supposed to be done. And it's just simple effort. That's one thing I think you can control is getting up early, working late, and pushing yourself. Plus, who wouldn't want to go to the spots that I'm assigned to in the country?
Man, you got the best states. I was just going to get, you got the best states.
Yeah, some of these recruiters nationally, they'll give them, okay, you have some in-state territory. Correct. Then you'll go to Atlanta for a week, or you'll go to New Orleans for a week. I get Daytona, Orlando, Tampa. I get Paradise down here in South Florida with Fort Lauderdale and Miami. I get the Carolinas, D-Line Heaven, where I lived for 7 years. The 757 of Virginia Beach up to North Jersey that always produces tough run blockers. Metro Dallas, which is known for its great high school coaches, great facilities. And last but not least, Paradise Beach, Southern California, where the best quarterbacks in the world are. There's no humidity, so that's always a treat. So, you know what? Very blessed. People are like, man, you're the damn working man, but you know what? I wouldn't trade it for anything.
And people, you must understand, you get paid to travel to all these states to enjoy football at its purest.
Yes, and the best is, I think, seeing a kid that may not be noticed yet, may not have any offers, and you know, when you put his name out, his life's going to change.
It's going to change.
Pre-education, he goes from his environment, which sometimes isn't ideal, and he gets a shot at life, and he gets to leave his situation and never turn back. And I think that's better than any breaking news story you can ever have.
Oh, you can't get it. Before we go to commercial break, Brian, but there's another game here in Broward County that we got to get into.
Yes.
And that is Deerfield and Chaminade. The reason why I say that is because, I mean, it built up like a UFC fight. Yes. It was being built up, and all of a sudden then the coach leaves.
Yep.
He leaves. They have to find a new coach. Deerfield's ready. The kind of momentum of the fight went down, but then it shot back up because they got Damian Jones, and it shot this thing back up. And the kids are, listen, these kids are steaming with each other. We got a chance to see it at our DB camp. These kids, it's going to be a heavyweight fight. But we're going to get back to it, folks.
Yes.
We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we're going to break down the games that are taking place here in South Florida. It's going to be beautiful. Stay tuned.
Open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on. Turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Because we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in. Welcome to my house. Baby, take control now. We can't even slow.
We're live back here at Dillard High School as we are kicking off here at Dillard kickoff weekend throughout the state of Florida as we break down games. Me, my main man, Ryan Bartow of 24/7 Sports, the hardest working man in the business. There's no other greater than him. But Ryan, as we said, let's break down tonight's game between Dillard and St. Thomas. This game here, as I said earlier, it really doesn't have any implications on how their season is going to play out. Both of them are in different divisions. But this game always have had, since I played in it, bragging rights for the community. When I played, hey, listen, both of these schools are within 2 miles of each other on the same stretch of Broward County, which is 27th Avenue. You can go from one to the other in less than 3 minutes. If you're driving, you can sit at St. Thomas or Dillard. The history of these two programs is unbelievable. When you talk about some years ago, in probably in the earlier 2000s, Dillard was that number one school for putting high school guys into the NFL. Now, tides have turned. St. Thomas is that school, and you look at the professional athletes that both schools has produced. You can't match it in any other state or any other program. These two schools, the history is unbelievable. But let's break down the kids that we have in this game tonight.
And the last two times they've met, it's been low-scoring games.
Yes.
17-7, 17-0. So take the under going in on this one with Dillard. It starts with their defense. Last year, every single guy in their front seven was a Division I guy. This year, all four of their starting defensive linemen are all D1 guys. I think the best one is Jordan Wright. He's one of the top defensive ends in the state of Florida. His top three right now is Syracuse, Southern Cal, as well as Miami. Kentucky is probably in that league group as well. He's a really good basketball player. He has an offer from Virginia Tech. All upside, all a 6'5", 235 pounds. In the middle, you have Jonathan Ford, a Miami commit, 6'5", 275 pounds. Big time upside. He'll be the only D tackle commit this cycle, most likely for the hometown Hurricanes. Stefan Zayas, a big lean to Louisville, a guy that's 6'6", 210 pounds coming off the edge. So that's where the strength of this team for another year in a row is for Dillard, is their front seven on defense. We'll see how they go on offense. In terms of St. Thomas Aquinas, they're loaded at every position.
Yes.
Six Division I wide receivers. You got Trayvon Grimes, a longtime huge lean to Ohio State. He'll publicly make his announcement next Wednesday. The crystal ball has always leaned heavily towards
the Buckeyes.
Where
do you have a crystal ball at?
I did a crystal ball pick for Trayvon Grimes to Ohio State over 2 years ago, and I haven't changed it since. So that'll be big points on the crystal ball next Wednesday. But, I mean, the whole receiving core, we're out there every day in the spring. Some days he's not the first, second, or third best wide receiver on his own high school team.
And I stated that here. And when we talk about receivers and we talk about how good Dillard's defensive front is, the front end helps the back end.
Yes.
So now, with St. Thomas being loaded at the receiver position, Dillard's defensive front is going to have to play, because when you're talking about holding a guy like Trayvon Grimes and that receiving core over at St. Thomas, you can't give them that much time. That means that defensive front has got to come off. But then St. Thomas and their offensive front line is stout too.
Yes, I think they're very much improved over a year ago up front offensively. Some of it was by transfer. Some of it was by player development. But I think you're talking a group across the board that's all Division I guys. So I think that's going to be – went from a question mark maybe in years past to one of their strengths. Again, three Division I backs with Daniel Carter, Keyshawn Bryant, Mike Epstein.
Yes.
Those guys will benefit from playing in a spread system because they'll see not too many guys in a box. Plus, I mean, that receiving core, again – Elijah Moore, a four-star guy for next year. Mike Harley, I think, is as good as any of them. He's a commit to Jawan Sider in West Virginia. He's explosive. He's had a big-time offseason. I expect him to make some big-time plays tonight. If I'm going in this game, what guy would you bet on to be the MVP of this game? I think Mike Harley is a big play waiting to happen at any moment.
Yes, yes.
And also two guys I really want to focus on in this game is Jordan Morrell, the slot receiver. Right. And Tyler Dunning, he's a defensive end linebacker. Why? Because they both played at Dillard and had some great memories on this field.
Yes.
Morrell has been a starter at Dillard since he was a freshman. Punt returner, do-it-all slot guy. He is now playing for one of the rivals at St. Thomas Aquinas, so he'll come in with a little extra motivation. I talked to him this morning. He is fired up
now, and that goes on the flip side.
Yes.
These players from Dillard, hey, I'm questioning. They find out, hey, listen, you left us.
Yes.
You left us, and you went down the street, as I call it. You went down the street. So I understand how that goes, because I live less than 200 yards away from Dillard High School, and I traveled to St. Thomas, but I had to walk through this area and had to get here. It come constantly. I remember the year I played Hyland Hickson. Hyland Hickson was another one of their great running backs come out, because at one point, that's all Dillard was producing, is great backs. I mean, from the Otis Mound to Hiley Hickson to Lorenzo White to it's a whole list of them.
Yes.
Of backs that was coming out. And I had to deal with that when we played Highland. I mean, we was in the barbershop one day, and the people were coming at me. And that's when Dillard was winning this rivalry.
Yes.
Dillard was, and over the last couple of years, St. Thomas has put it out, but Dillard was winning his rivalry at
National
that time.
National program at
yes,
that time.
At that state championship bout, I remember they beat us. And at that point, they proceeded on to win the state championship. The ties has turned probably once I left out of St. Thomas, those ties started turning to a little more of a star favor in St. Thomas because of the history of colleges that flocks to St. Thomas. And then just that mystique that George Smith have. I think it kind of went down here once Coach Otis Gray retired.
Yep.
And they've been trying to find that Coach Otis Gray. And I think with Lorenzo Davis, a guy that graduated from here, he's given this program back that tradition of what it takes to win here. If you look at the list of talent and how loaded he is this year, this is his year to get deep into the playoffs if it was any year that he's had.
And defensively, it's not going to be a question. There's not too many teams that can consistently move the ball on that front seven.
On that front seven.
Yes. Now, will the offense step up? They have a D1 receiver in Oliver. They have a couple other talented guys. Will the offense step up and give them enough balance where you're getting 17, 20 points, because that's all they need.
Now, and I'm going to tell you, the St. Thomas defense is going to have some pressure on them from George Golden, who's one of the fastest young men in the state. He was just on the front of the high school magazine. He was on the front cover of it. And this kid, at any point, can take it the distance from anywhere on the field. So I'm quite sure, and he's a specialist. Only reason he won't get loose in the special teams, because this game here, the special teams are not live.
Yes, unfortunately, the kicking game is not a go tonight. But at the same time, St. Thomas's defense, new D coordinator.
Correct.
I think you're going to see a more aggressive defense because they're so loaded on the back end with some of those four-star DBs that they can take chances up front. And I think, you know, losing Bosa last year made a couple guys step up, play a little bit earlier than they had
Definitely
to.
Did.
And I look for this linebacking core, though, to be the strength of their defense. Drew White is a Notre Dame commit. You got Rocky Shelton right next to him, a four-star junior linebacker. Solomon on one side. Nick Benito, who we at 24/7 Sports have as the number two weak side defensive end in his class, 2018. He's a guy that obviously is real familiar with Dillard's stud DN, Jordan Wright, because they spend the whole summer together in AAU basketball.
Yes.
They're both D1 offer basketball guys that could play but D1 basketball all day. They just happen to have bigger upside as pass rushers.
And I tell, especially here in South Florida, because I speak on a lot, when you talk about basketball players and you talk about football players, to me, in my eyesight, if you're not a guy that's 6'7", 6'6", in South Florida, you're probably going to fare well better on Sundays than during the week.
I have to give this speech in my 350 school stops a year. The high school coach sometimes needs a different voice for these recruits.
A lot of these recruits
get fired up when 24/7 comes into their
school.
Come
rolling into it.
And you give them the speech going, hey, you know what? You're 6'4", 225. I didn't come here to write about you as a basketball
player. I came
here all day. You're actually going to have four stars behind your name as a defensive end. And everybody, all these kids grow up, and it's so easy to play basketball. All you need is the ball and a court, and so it's easy. Football, you don't start till later, especially with the pads, so it takes a while. But a lot of times they realize that, and they see offers from SEC and ACC schools that they weren't getting in basketball.
Then
the light flips on, and then look out.
Yes, and they had a kid here. I'm going to tell you, so Dillard had a tight end here. That was named Bo Ruther.
Okay.
Bo was, when I say, and Bo was that 6'6 type of guy. He was playing basketball. He was a basketball type of guy. And he was a football guy. Football was part-time to him. Basketball was full-time to him. He was traveling with the AAU. And I sat him down, and I had that same conversation with him. At that time, his coach was Coach Franklin. And I told him, listen, bro, you'll fare weather better on playing on Sundays than you would during the week. You know, when I say that, you got to understand basketball games at the NBA level is played during the week. NFL games are played on Sunday. That's why I say you fare out well on Sunday than you do during the week. But as we see, the Dillard Panthers here, we're live at Dillard High School in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, kicking off the kickoff classic between St. Thomas and Dillard High School. Two historical programs. Dillon is just now starting to march into their stadium. St. Thomas has been warming up on the stadium field now. In about 30 minutes, these two historical programs will battle for bragging rights, because it's not anything, as I told you, it's not anything dealing with their season, but it is bragging rights. Sometimes to some of these kids, that mean more to them than a district championship, to know that they playing in the biggest game, one of the biggest game in the state.
Remember, too, St. Thomas Aquinas is opening the season as the number one team nationally by Max Preps.
But now, I don't know if USA Today is trying to stir the pot up, because they dropped them to number two. They flip-flopped from Max Prep.
And who do they have number one?
They went with, was it Bishop Gorman? I think they flipped.
Bishop Gorman?
Yes.
Well, you know what? We'll settle that September 25th.
In Vegas.
Yep, in Vegas, baby, of all the places. And kudos to both programs for getting that game done.
Yes, I mean, can you imagine? ESPN, I think it's an ESPN game, 7 o'clock Friday night. We're trying to get it here on the Tony Sands Show to where we can get the rights to the pregame show, because I would travel with St. Thomas during that week, and we'll try to get that pregame show. We're trying to work with St. Thomas, trying to work the details out to get that game where we, Tony Sands Show, do the pregame show for it. But back to this game here. Coach Davis, as I stated, is doing a great job with the disciplining of these kids, getting the kids to want to come back to Dillard High School. And I think he's doing a terrific job. He is a Dillard alum.
Yes.
But this is not the only game that we will cover. Let's jump a little bit north to the Deerfield Beach Chaminade game, which is a game that I spoke about before we went to commercial break, that built up to the hype, kind of went down, and now is on its way to rise up, and it dropped because of Coach Moose abruptly resigning.
Yeah, on the eve of the first practice.
Yes.
Which was total chaos.
Total chaos.
Never a boring day down here in South Florida, and that added to it. But if you can find a free agent, a proven guy to somehow fill in that beyond unique situation, who better than Damian Jones? He turned around the Hollidale program.
Yes.
They upset American Heritage in the playoffs last year.
Yes.
I think it's a better move than when Baylor had to have Art Briles resign and you get Jim Grobe.
Yes.
This trumps that on the high school version.
On the high school level of it. Yes, it does.
And I know Moose was going to run that 21 personnel because that's what he is.
That's what he is. Yes.
Jonesy's going to open that up.
That
and a spread offense with a D1 quarterback in Henry Columbi that's committed to Utah State, a five-star receiver in 2018 receiver, Xavier Williams. You got two D1 backs. The kid that we both love, Worm, Sean Shivers, can you imagine how much better he's going to look in a spread offense?
And spread offense, I tell people all the time, spread offenses are geared for smaller backs like him, because now I can put you one-on-one with the linebacker and let you do what you do, and that is – take advantage of what a defense is giving you. So that's Deerfield now has speed. You know, I've been out to their practice all summer.
Yes.
Got a chance to watch. It's speed across the board, and they're big up front.
And they have your number one receiving core in the state of Florida.
And the state of Florida.
I tell people that all the time. Number one in the country.
Listen, when I tell people, you know, I took a lot of flack from that. You know, and St. Thomas,
I'm not going to stop giving you flack on that.
I'm taking a lot of flack on it, but when I say complete receiving core, I mean in tight end from the outside all the way in.
It's justified, too.
And I'm telling you now, because what I've seen over the last 4 months, I've seen Jerry Judy and the whole rest of that crew start to rise, because now the standards are up to Jerry Judy.
Yes.
The standards
who I think is as good as any receiver in the country this year. And he's an Alabama commit. I think he's a guy that'll only be in college for 3 years and then he'll be a pro. He's very rare. I mean, what more can a guy do? I mean, to earn a five-star. I mean, I talked to our rankings guy the other day for 24/7. I'm like, does this guy got to do 12 backflips and 200 one-arm push-ups? He has destroyed everybody in his way at the opening, at Friday Night Lights on the University of Florida's campus, at the Paradise Camp at Miami. He's going against the best of the best. Plus, you have Daywood Davis, a USF commit. You have Leroy Henley, a huge lean to West Virginia. They got some young guys that are tremendous there that they rave about. Plus, I think the difference this year in that Deerfield team is a quarterback in Nick Home. I think he's a 1AA QB, a big, yes, tall guy. He's going to have four receivers to go to. I think that's an upgrade for them, and I think he's the guy that pushes them to a legit deep run in the playoffs this year.
And I'm having them, and I told you earlier, because I tweeted it out once I went to their practice, that, listen, hey, people in Deerfield, get your tickets ready, because you'll be on your way to the state championship game this year. And I believe that, because when you go in that practice and you go over there and you watch, I watch when I go to practices, when playing this game, I watch how a team practices. If you practice fast tempo, that tells me a lot about you. I've gone to some practices, yeah, and it's so methodical, so slow it moves. It tells me a lot of things. When those guys get in game time situations, they're not going to be at that speed. When you practice fast, you play fast. It's not something that you have to turn on game day to automatically happen.
And in 8A, you have those three stud four-star DBs at Miami, yes, Columbus, yes, all committed to Miami, all, yes, will play early for the Hurricanes in the Starman, Bandy, Henderson, and Josh Jobe. They're going to have something to say about that.
They're going to have a lot to say.
The route still goes through Flanagan. They're the defending state champs. They have the top cornerback in the state,
yes,
Sanford Samuels, who can also play quarterback. They're going to have a say in that. Plus, my pick to go through there is down at Miami Southridge.
Yes, and I
with
know
Day-Day
you like Flanagan, Southridge.
They got probably 17 D1 guys. They're loaded on both sides. They have a receiving core that I think is just as good as anybody's. Plus, they have stud back in Bentavious Thompson. They have 13 Division I guys on their defense,
yes,
including,
yes,
four on the defensive front. So this is going to be a loaded, especially in South Florida, loaded 8A playoffs.
That it is. And like I say, when you're going to match, then in that game there, you're going to get a chance to match.
Dude on top of dude.
Man on man, mono on mono. And right now, I haven't seen no one that can stop that man they call Jerry Jeudy. I haven't seen nobody.
No, you would have to put not two guys on. You'd have to put three.
And that, guess
that
what?
That would open it up for everybody else.
Everybody else. And, yeah, that's what he's going to be. You know, I know a lot of people are going to come in. They're going to try to double coverage this guy.
That, you need but, to. When he gets off the bus, you better.
He's
have two
going
guys
to beat
on
double
it.
Coverage. You And he's gonna make yeah. that known come Saturday night.
Yes.
As they call it, Buck Prize Stadium. He's going to make that known.
Yeah, I think Deerfield, obviously, the bigger school, the more depth, more talent across
yes.
the board. It'll be a great showcase for him to continue what's been a tremendous offseason, but
yes.
for the whole team too. For those young guys like a Henley, like a Home, they want to show out too, and it's a great stage for them. They're going to be the
Correct.
Top game in the state on
Correct.
That Saturday night, and it'll be a great opportunity. Chaminade, maybe a little more dismay because they're learning a new system in mm-hmm. record time in less than 3 weeks, from especially
okay.
offensively.
Okay.
But at the same stage, guys like Williams, guys like Shivers, they're going to get a chance to make big-time
yes.
plays in that game. That'll be an entertaining game. That could be a high-scoring one.
That is. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and my producer's going to play us some banging tracks. We come back here at Dillard High School, the home of the Panthers, and we're going to continue to break down this Dillard St. Thomas game. We're going to go man-on-man. Who's going to stop Grimes? Do Dillard have the studs at the D-backs position to stop Grimes? We're going to go to a commercial break.
Hey, oh, daddy, 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 daddy. Walked in 30,000 in my pocket, had them looking just like, ooh. $50,000 on you, bitch, you on the roof, you got to scream it like, ooh, 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 ooh. I got a check, we're gonna wanna flip. I ain't got a flip, but I got it. Ooh, 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 ooh. Get that on some mix, she gon' wanna stitch. Every looking in the set. Now she screaming like, ooh, ooh, ooh. How much you made? $2 million off of me. Tell you, and I'm falling like, ooh.
Scores.
We're back here at the Tony Sands Show. I'm alongside my main man, Ryan Bartow, the hardest working man in the recruiting business. He is that guy when it comes to recruiting. Throughout the nation, not just South Florida. You have some guys do South Florida, but I have the national recruiter alongside me. Ryan, and as we do this show, and everybody around the country know that we're here at this game at Dillard High School, and they know the amount of D1 talent that is on this field tonight. Mm. Your Texas, your tweets are going off. My tweets are going off. We got people from all over the country wondering about the athletes that we have on this field. Let's give our listening audience a little breakdown on it.
No doubt. You got, let me give you an example. Maybe a certain school in the SEC that's won 4 of the last 7 national titles. They're wondering who's looking good tonight.
Yes.
Who should they be offering? Are they in the top 3 for the guys they already have offered? Do they need to cool on them? Do they need to amp them up? A local team here, Miami Hurricanes, they already have a kid committed in Jonathan Ford. They're wondering how he balls out tonight. That's a guy that they got to commit from in February. The new staff has told them they're probably only going to take 1 D tackle. That's kept him solid, so they're wondering how he's doing tonight. But the list goes on. You got a guy in Mike Harley that has other options. Michigan's still going after him. Miami's still going after him. Jawan Sider offered him first. Gosh, what a great scheme fit. Can you imagine him in the West Virginia spread offense in space making plays like that? I think it's one of the best scheme fits in the country. But at the same time, Sider's got to hold him in. He's got to make sure that he's still a Mountaineer.
But now, there's some other guys down here in South Florida that has West Virginia High on their chart. It's about 3 guys here in Broward County. Sean Shivers.
Yep.
He's still on his list. And Leroy Henley.
Yes.
Is another guy. So imagine if he come down, he get Mike Harley, Leroy Henley, and Sean Shivers. That's a heck of a recruiting class.
And all 3 of them would be tremendous in that spread offense.
Exactly.
They run tempo. I have Shivers and Henley crystal balled to West Virginia. So that only means there's a 92% chance that those kids wind up there.
And the way your prediction's been going on the crystal ball, guess what? You are hitting
money in the bank, babe. Yeah. So anyways, Henley, I think, has favored West Virginia for a long time.
Yes.
I think the staff with Dana and Sider told Leroy Henley and Mike Harley, hey, we've offered 10 guys down here in South Florida, but you two are the 2 we want the most. I think Henley can do a public commit to West Virginia once he goes up and sees it for himself early this fall for an official visit. What makes Shivers so attractive for them is the guy that he reminds me the most outside of the guy that I'm on the show with right now, Tony Sands, is a guy named Noel Devine, a former great for West Virginia, small, explosive, outrageously dangerous in space. And that's why Sider offered him early. They've led for him for quite a while. So I think West Virginia is in great shape for that.
Yeah,
Plus, they have other guys committed. Cody Bowes at Miami Southridge. I think they're in great shape for a guy like Mike Nesbitt, a defensive back at Boyd Anderson. So I think Dana really lets a guy like Jawan Sider come down here. He's from South Florida and says, hey, go get a 6 or 7 from Paradise every year and prove that you are the king of Paradise.
And there's no doubt. There's no doubt. But Ryan, I got also, I had a chance to visit school like Ely. I had a chance to visit Ely High School.
Yes.
And I always say it, and I continue to say this, that we produce so many athletes, and the demand on our coaches here in South Florida is so high to produce elite talent. But my research has shown me that our coaches are the lowest paid in the country. And I got a chance to see that when I went over and visited Ely, and I only saw, and I know it was doing normal working hours because it was a morning practice and those coaches, his assistant coaches, were working. When you deal with places like Texas and California, the head coach is making 6 figures. Here, if a head coach makes $3,500, he's doing well.
Yep.
He's outside of the private schools like St. Thomas and American Heritage and Chaminade and things like that. Those coaches are probably that elite, and there's only a small amount of them. And like Oxbridge, those type of coaches are probably on that level with the Texas coaches. But the rest of the guys that we consider in this public school system, they don't make the money like Texas, where 6 figures, and that's all I do is coach football. I do nothing else but coach football. That's it. These guys teach. They become dads. They become mentors. They become brothers. I mean, you name it. They have to wear the hat, and they wear that hat 24 hours a day. And that's a big thing for me. I'm trying to figure out, and I look at Texas landscape, and I say, okay, they're both public. These are both public institutions in both states. So how one institution in one state could pay so much, but another state can't pay that much? I haven't grasped, and I've been trying to find every type of research to find out what makes that happen? And if we say taxes, okay, both states pay taxes. So, and you look at the facilities are even totally different. I'm hearing that Texas is making, they're producing million-dollar high school stadiums.
When I go to Texas, it's rare if the high school doesn't have an indoor facility.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Something that Clemson and Miami, Miami still doesn't have one.
Yes,
yeah, Clemson just got one.
Yes.
Yeah, so when you go to Texas, those coaches are available all day. A lot of times when you go to a high school in Florida, those coaches are teaching classes.
Yeah, they call them out.
And I'm not talking weight room or football. They're teaching social studies or English.
Correct.
I mean, it's a different dynamic. Some of it is economics. Some of it is priority of the game.
Yes, yes.
And it's unfortunate. I think just coming from as the son of an educator and my mom being a teacher, I think that's the most underpaid and underappreciated job in the country across the board, but the one that has the most influence and effect on America's youth.
Yes.
It doesn't make sense. Yes. You're going to be able to shape and mold these kids, and you're not going to be paid for it.
You're not going to be competent.
But I'll never figure that one out.
But now, it let you not win. Let you not win here in the state of Florida, and you're fired. You not win in some of these historical programs. If you don't win in some of these historical programs, you will be fired.
And if you do
you
win.
You will be fired if you don't win. But you don't pay me what I need to be paid.
And if you do win, your reward is to leave paradise and go to lovely rural South Carolina.
Rural,
nothing's going on, South Georgia.
Exactly.
And you're going to get paid double the money, sometimes triple, but you're in a place where there's nothing going on.
There's nothing going on. And some of these guys, they have to uproot because economically it's so hard to live here in the state of Florida. And then you're telling me to be a coach and the demand now, that's when I tell people, that's where a wife got to be understanding, because these guys are gone. These guys are, they're practicing. You got to figure in a day, they're gone for 16 hours between teaching and leaving and going to coach. And God forbid, if one of their kids get in trouble, they have to get up in the middle of the night to deal with that along with a parent. And then they have to deal with recruiting because they have to hear that. If my kid don't get in school, then, okay, well, it was the coach's fault that a kid didn't get in school. Do you? And you're a recruiter, so you deal with that, Ryan. Do you hear that a lot, to where a lot of parents say, oh, it was the coach's fault that my child did not get in school?
Well, one, I try to deal with parents as least as possible. If a quarterback's dad is calling me by the time I get to the next school, I ain't covering that kid. That's just how it is.
I'm not going at all.
So, but anyways, most of these coaches also, they don't get summers off like teachers.
Yes.
One way for them to supplement their income is to get 10 to 15 kids in a bus or a van.
And hit the road.
Hit all the schools in the SEC that'll pay them big money for bringing those kids on campus.
Yes.
And that's a way where for some of these coaches and assistant coaches to make almost as much, if not more, money than they make from their own schools.
And that's sad, because guess what? Now I'm gone again from where? I'm gone again from home.
Yep.
So now that strain again becomes on my wife. And then I'm hoping and praying that I have a stud player or two on my van.
Yes.
Because now that demand has risen for me to make sure that I get to that school, because that school is telling me, hey, get that kid to my school.
Yep.
And on the flip side of that, you know, you get in the camps, you get the kids to get in the camps, and they get in the camps, and that helps the employment of that coach, because they're not paying them. Number, I mean, like I said, they get $3,500. An assistant, I think, get like $1,800 a year. And you're talking about the whole year. If you break that down financially, if you break that down dollar wage per hour that a high school coach makes here in the state of Florida, it's less than a dollar a day. And I got someone that says a penny a second. But we look at Texas, we're putting out more athletes than Texas, but our coaches are making less money.
Mm-hmm. Yep, no doubt.
Less money.
Yep.
And that's what I'm having a hard time understanding. But let's get into this. And when we talk about paradise, you know, I deal with DBs all day.
Yes.
This is paradise for Division I schools when it comes to defensive backs.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it doesn't get any better. And let's break that down. What's up? As we speak, the man, the myth, the legend just walked into this stadium.
Shout out to Stevie Davis, former
coach
Davis, at Plantation.
State champion Coach Davis, as you must call it. State champion. But let's get back into it.
Yes.
Folks, we're here at Dillard High School. If you're just now joining the show, we're doing the kickoff of football here in the state of Florida. This is the kickoff classic between Dillard High School and St. Thomas Aquinas. But we're talking DBs here in the state of Florida. We're talking Patrick Surtain, Al Blades, Benjamin Sapp, Hall, Stanley Gardner. I mean, Marquise Williams. The list goes on.
Let me sum it up. I put this out last, actually on Monday.
Yes.
It seems like weeks ago, but we've known this.
And the list goes on and on and on.
Yes, we've known this for a while, but every year the skill talent is loaded in South Florida. And every year you probably have 10 to 15 Division I defensive backs.
Yes.
In 2018, we're talking rising juniors in high school. There's already 20 Division I guys that already have between one and in some cases 35-plus Division I offers. Plus, it's not only deep with quality, you got quantity national recruits.
Yes.
9 of the 20 guys are already 4 or 5-star recruits. Yes. I think, and this is something I'm pushing as a guy that has influence and is able to invite guys to the U.S. Army All-American game.
Yes.
I'm telling them for 2018.
How many?
I got the secondary. For the whole East, I got them.
Just give me that.
I don't want any of them north of West Palm Beach. I got them. They're all 4 or 5-star guys. I mean, Patrick Surtain, I think, is the best DB to come out of South Florida since Patrick Peterson.
Yes, yes, yes.
6'2", 200 pounds. Dad was a Pro Bowler for the Miami Dolphins. He is everything you want and more for a defensive back. But there's 8 other ones that you could make the argument for. It's that loaded.
And I know when I called out these names, I called out Surtain, I called out Al Blades, I called out Asante Samuel, I called out Benny Sapp. It's not ironic that you know those names.
Yeah. Legacies.
Their dad played at the NFL level.
Yep.
And when you look at Al Blades, he come from that long list of that tree of athletes, Brian Blades, Benny Blades, his dad, Al Blades, and his uncle. You're talking about the list goes on and on and on. Benny Sapp, his dad played in the NFL, and you know Asante Samuel's dad.
And I think teams like Florida State, like Florida, like West Virginia, Clemson, especially LSU, will benefit from this list. But if you are Mike Rump and you inherited the worst you've ever seen in the history of Miami in terms of DB recruiting and development, where your position is the worst on the team, I tell him, hey, wait 2 years. It's going to be the strength of the team pretty quick.
But Ryan, listen, we are at the bottom of the show. We probably got about 5 minutes left here on the show.
Yes.
Now, we talked about the big games here in the state of Florida, South Florida particularly, when we talk about Deerfield and Chaminade. We talk about Dillard and St. Thomas, the game that we are here, and we talk about American Heritage and Booker T.
Yep.
This is prediction hour of the Tony Sands show. Let's see what we can produce. We're going to, you know, kickoff going on, so we're probably going to go a little bit in the kickoff. Let's hold that off. I want to dig deeper into this DB thing. We got a little bit more time. My producer said we got a little bit of time. So let's dig deeper into – let's look at some of the DBs that we look at that's right now playing Division I football. We look at Tyndall, who had a chance to train. We look at Chris Lemons. We look at John Battle. The list goes on and on and on of DBs that are around the country playing at the historical Division I schools.
And all those guys you mentioned, Chris Lemons is going to start for South Carolina Gamecocks. He's probably as good a guy as they have in their secondary.
Correct.
We just saw his high school coach walk by in Stevie Davis.
Yes.
J.C. Jackson is going to be one of the top 3 players on Maryland's roster. He's an instant impact guy. Quincy Wilson will start for the Florida Gators. Derek Tyndall, I think, is ready for a big-time breakout season for the Wisconsin Badgers. He will start opposite another South Florida guy, Sojourn Shelton, who's going into his 4th year as a starter for the Badgers. They will form one of the best cornerback duos in the Big Ten. John Battle is probably part of the best secondary in the country at LSU with Corey Raymond.
Yes.
If he plays 5 games for LSU, you know where he's going to wind up in the league. That's just in the 2014 class.
And you know, when I look at, you know, the list of names that we've called out, man, I'd have had the pleasure to train at least 6 of these guys.
Yeah.
6 of these DBs, and to watch them go on to their prospective school and make it a name. And then we look at your guys, and I call them your guys, from Coconut Creek.
Yeah.
Man, these guys are tearing up the landscape.
How about that? 3 years ago, yes. Everybody's giving me crap because they're like, how could you get three guys from Coconut Creek? They're not a traditional power, and you got all three of them in the U.S. Army, before they're even juniors in high school? What are you thinking?
And
fast forward, all of them wound up being national recruits. All of them wound up having 20 to 40 offers. And the best part is now that they're on college campuses in the first 3 weeks, Malik Young was working out with the first teamers today for the Miami Hurricanes.
Yes.
He's already got a bunch of interceptions in fall camp. Yes. Trayvon Mullen will probably start in 2 weeks when Clemson plays at Auburn.
Yes.
He's torn it up. He's bought into the weight system. The kid that left this summer at 170 pounds, he's now 187. Sure. He can play bump and run at a high level right away. I think he's a three and done kind of guy. Then you have Benjamin Victor, who was the talk of Twitter in the last 24
been
hours.
All over it.
Because he makes the acrobatic
catch.
Yeah, 40-yard catch.
Yes.
And everybody's going nuts at Ohio State, and I'm sitting here going, well, we only saw that about 150 times the last 3 years down here
in
Paradise.
Exactly, yes, yes.
So all three of those kids have already shown, which is hard for a true freshman to show out, let alone play right away on a major, three major top 20 programs, but they're doing it right away.
And they're, and like you
great
said,
great kids too. I'm proud of them.
Like you said, right away they're doing this thing. They're setting up. So when we go to camps and when, you know, we're out at camp and we look at the DBs here and we look at, because I got a chance to see a lot of this down when we was at Camp Paradise, the camp that Miami, and I tell people, you got to figure, Coach put that Paradise camp on in 2 weeks. When you're talking, and the names that he was able to bring in, the Michael Irvins, the Ray Lewis, can you imagine you as a high school athlete, and you're able to walk right next to or communicate with a Michael Irvin, a Warren Sapp, a Ray Lewis. These are the best the University of Miami has put out, and they're Hall of Famers.
Some of the best the NFL's ever put out.
So you're able to just sit, and you're able to talk with them. You're able to mingle with them, pick their brain. That's got to be exciting.
Obviously, you can tell this staff at Miami knows what they're doing.
Yes.
And to do that kind of event that you see at Ohio State, you see at Florida in a Friday Night Lights, it's a great opportunity to get your top recruits, your top guys on your board back on campus.
Yes.
And they can do it here because most of the guys they're recruiting are within an hour or two of campus. But to get those kind of alums back on your
campus is unbelievable.
I mean, there's names we didn't even mention. Phillip Buchanan, Jeremy Shockey.
Shockey, yes.
Antrell Rowe. All these guys look like they can still play all day, too.
And like you said,
And they went there for free just to work out their kids because they had such a great experience at Miami, and they're giving back to the kids in South Florida.
That pride. I tell people all the time, you know, USC have their thing. Florida State have their thing. Alabama has their thing. But when it comes to true brotherhood, I have never seen a program like the University of Miami when you talk about true brotherhood, that where if Michael Irvin was in and all of a sudden some young guys that graduated from the University of Miami was here, they come and pay homage to those older guys. And when I say a true brotherhood, because I've been around that program, but I've also played Division I football at a historical big time university. At that time we was in the Big Eight, University of Kansas, but I've never seen it. And I've been around the Oklahoma, the Nebraskas, all that, but I've never seen that brotherhood like I see down at the University of Miami.
And the reason why, that competitive spirit, that fight, that refuse to lose, it's called South Florida Dog for a reason. It only exists in South Florida, in Paradise.
It doesn't, and as he talked about, that's my main man, Ryan Bartow, up 24/7 Sports. We talk about that dog here in South Florida. These guys, some of these guys, this is their ticket.
Yeah.
This is their way out. So they put that at the utmost high on the scale of getting out of South Florida, because this is my only way out.
Yep.
This is the only way I get out of this thing, is that I put everything, all my marbles, everything into this.
And I see it all around the country, not only when these powerhouse programs go and play a Bishop Gorman or a Cedar Hill.
Yes.
When these kids go and compete, and there's usually a dozen of them, go up to the opening in the summer,
right?
You know who the South Florida kids are.
Oh, you know it by far.
Whether they got 4 or 3 stars, they don't care about stars.
They don't care
about stars. They care about competing and not backing down from anybody, and they will talk.
Yes, big time. That's all they do. We talk. I tell people all the time, you know a South Florida guy when you look out on the field and you see him talking trash, that guy that got to be from South Florida. They said it to me when I got to the University of Tampa, you could tell y'all South Florida guys. And like I told him, I said, listen, because there's a standard that you must live up to, because when you go back home, the guys are saying, what did you did when you went there?
Yeah.
That's that pride that, hey, listen, I got to get on the field as a freshman, because when I go back home, my homeboy's going to say to me, boy, you ain't doing nothing where you at. So I got to go and take the landscape of where I'm at this point in time. And I got to say, Ryan, it has come down to
prediction time.
Prediction time here on the Tony Sands Show.
Keep me up. I got a score for all three of these games this weekend.
Let's dig into it. We're going to dig into tonight's game between St. Thomas, who, you know, both teams on the field, as we told you, they're in the kickoff thing. But as you can see, you look out there, the kickoff is not on. But let's get into the prediction part of that game, Dillard versus St. Thomas.
Like I said, the last two games have been low scoring. I expect it to be low scoring again tonight. I'm going to say St. Thomas 27, Dillard 7.
Wow. You put it there. I don't know, Ryan. I think.
What are you guessing there?
I'm going to go 20-14.
A little closer.
I'm going to go 20-14, St. Thomas 20-14, because I think Jake Allen don't play the whole part of this game. And I think at that point, Dillard keeps more of their starters in.
And it's at their house.
Yes, and it's at their house. And that's pride. This is the first time this game has been played, far as a kickoff classic. This is the first time it's being played here at at Dillard.
I factored the two deeps in my prediction, too. Yes.
And then now, like I said, that defensive line is going to have something to prove.
Yes.
They're going up against what they call a historical, one of the best programs when it comes to offensive linemen here in the state of in Broward County. So there's going to be some pride there. Those guys are going to come off the ball. So my prediction is more, I'm going to go 20-14, and I'm going St. Thomas 20-14, but because I think that's going to stay close. But now let's get into tomorrow's game, American Heritage and Booker T. And you look at Heritage, like I say, we know what they have. Booker T coming out of Dade County, you know that's pride versus anything. Now Broward is a battle of the 305 and the 954.
Yes.
It's a battle of the clash, and this is that 305 and that 954 clash between the two.
Booker T, great QB, and Daniel Richardson. They run my favorite offense, no huddle, no mercy. Great wide receiver in Sherrod Johnson, who's an absolute steal for Syracuse. They're loaded with defensive talent. I think the difference in this game is the offensive line, the big boys for American Heritage. Kaleon Herbert, a Michigan commit. TJ Slayton, a heavy lean actually to Michigan. And tomorrow night, South Florida, the state of Florida, gets a debut of a kid that I think is going to blow up.
Oh,
and Abraham Elsey, a big time 2018 tailback, 6 foot, 230 pounds. No offers yet. He might have some offers by Sunday.
Listen, he will have some offers by Sunday. That kid is a man child. The last kid I seen that fits his build was Jordan Scarlett.
And Scarlett is a speed back that was trapped in a big man's body.
Yes.
This guy is like Jerome Bettis meets Ron Dane.
And
he's downhill, and he has a lot of, I want to take your head off to him.
And see, when you find those type of backs, and you, like you said, you find those type of backs that I want to punish you as a defender versus you trying to punish me. I come in this game with the intent to do bodily harm to anybody that's trying to tackle me. And that's what this young man is going to get a chance. Because, you know, sometimes we say here in South Florida, I'm quite sure in the back he said, okay, listen, they say on the West Coast, football is not God. Football is breeded on the East Coast here of South Florida. And so I think that factors into his thing. Hey, I want to show these guys that I can play on this landscape over here on the East Coast as well.
Yes, and that transfer for him will help his recruitment, no doubt, like it did for a lot of kids in that school. But I'm going to go with Heritage in that one, 27-20, which I think is going to be a fourth quarter game and an absolute classic. What do you got for that one? Iceman or Pat Surtain? That's like raspberries or strawberries.
Listen,
for
me. I'm going Pat Surtain. I got to stay the 954. I can't go 305 over 954, man. Listen. They would kill me here in Broward County if I take a Dade County school over a Broward school. I'm going in that game. I think it's at Heritage. I'm going in that game 21-17.
It's 21-17. That kind of game.
Yes, 21-17. I'm going American Heritage. I'm staying 954. My man, I just can't see it no other way. I got to go 954. And I know Surtain, this is bragging rights for him. Hey, listen, he want to let people know, guess what? This is my program.
Yep.
I got my hand on this program now.
Yep.
And I think that's why having, as I'm going to call it from this point on, beast mode in the building.
Yep.
This is why you bring a beast mode to make that separation. This is why my offense is going to be more powerful than a Booker T.
That's the difference maker. And then Saturday night, Deerfield Beach with the number one wide receiving core in the universe.
Oh, man.
With Jerry Jeudy, who I think is as good as any receiver in the country.
Yes, he is.
Against Worm, Sean Shivers, Xavier Williams, all the offseason trash talk finally kicks off in a game that matters, a game that they count, which should be a showdown. I'm saying Deerfield Beach separates. And
two touchdowns.
Yeah, it should be a great,
hey,
great
baby
game.
Girl, what's going
as
on?
As the Worm walks by
giving
him love.
Worm and his mom walked by as we talking prediction of Deerfield Beach and Chaminade.
Yeah.
It is a game that's, like I told people, built up to the hype. It is that UFC fight that everybody's waiting to be in. It's the biggest stage because there's no other game that night. See, there's several games tonight. There's several games tomorrow.
Yep.
But there's no other game Saturday night.
And it's going to be high scoring. I mean, Jerry Judy's going to put up big plays. X-Man Xavier Williams going to make big plays. Obviously, Sean Shivers in a spread offense is going to take speed sweeps. He's going to take draw plays and hit absolute home runs. I would say now for a score, I'm saying 41-27 in there. High scoring, take the over. And it's, yeah.
I think it's going to be high scoring game because, like I say, in that spread offense, a guy like we know. Listen, I wish I would have got an opportunity to play in a spread offense. I'm telling you, but I had to come down here. That's all I had was an eye offense.
Yep.
That's all it was going to give me. They weren't going to give me no more than that, you know. And I had to, you know, I did pretty well for myself. I mean, yep. I was Big 8 Player of the Year, set 2 NCAA records. But I know in that spread offense, I would have been.
It would have been silly. It would have been video game like. So, but that. I still got to put you on the line here. What's your score prediction? Let's wrap this thing up. I'm going 41-27 with the Bucs.
On that one, I'm staying neutral. I got to stay neutral. I'm going to let you pick that out. I'm staying neutral.
So the national guy that has to go through every high school in the country
I'll leave that up.
And be beloved by all of them sticks his nose.
Yes. Yep. Okay, I'm going to go. It's going to be a foot race.
Yeah.
A serious foot race because of – And it's going to boil down to, I think this game will boil down, that game will boil down to depth. It'll boil down to how deep each bench is. Because now you're going to have to pull guys off the bench to, those second guys is what in basketball, what we would call that sixth man. That sixth man is going to be important for both of those programs. And it boils down to how long. To
8A
me,
versus 2A. That's
it boils down to how long do both coaches keep their starters in for that game. And I see in that this bragging rights because this thing been heating up. It's been heating up. But we're going to get to the prediction before we go off. But joining the Tony Sands show, and it's not every day that you can get, when I say probably, when I'm on Facebook, one of the women that I see on Facebook all the time, you know you're going to get it. She coming that morning with something. She's coming, and I know it. Listen, all I do when I stroll, I say, okay, where's she at? And she's coming. Listen, I'm going to call you because I know this is what you get called. That's Worm Mama. They don't even call you by your name, Joe. They call you Worm Mama. I know you get that a lot. Joining the Tony Sands show here, and I'm going to do what everybody else do. This is my girl, Joy, a.k.a. Worm Mama. What's going on, Joe? What has it been like for you the last? And I wanted to bring you on the show, and I told your mom, because moms, parents don't get a chance to hear from other parents.
Right.
They don't get a chance to hear that.
Right.
You have been in a roller coaster. When I say roller coaster, from being solid to the ground get shaky to getting back solid. Let my listeners know, as parents, especially moms, because moms, I think, get a little deeper because you guys are emotional type of people.
Absolutely.
What was it like for you as a mom on a Friday? Okay, we're ready to go. We're set. We're getting ready to kick off this season. We're ready to roll. And all of a sudden, come Monday morning, It's like the rug has been snatched from up under you. Well, Sunday, what goes through your mind? Walk me through and my listeners through your day starting from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, back to Monday, Tuesday.
Okay, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, man, it's my pleasure.
I'm glad to be here.
It is my pleasure.
It was crazy.
It was crazy.
As a parent, you try to keep your child focused. You try to instill the right things in them.
Yes.
Whether it be stay, whether it is to go, you have to do what's best for you. And a lot of times I hear people say, oh, they should stay here because they're building something here. But at some point, you have to do what's best for
you. For your child.
Yes. And I listen to Sean Worm a lot.
Mom tend to lose the name.
I get confused. Sometimes he's Worm, sometimes he's Sean. But I listen to him a lot. I've always listened to him. We have that type of relationship.
Uh-huh.
We're really close. So when things come up, we discuss it.
Okay.
And it's not something that I make a decision. He makes a decision. We sit down and we discuss it. So between the roller coaster, as you know, this has been our third coach.
Yes.
At one school. So it's been crazy for
us. Let's get into that. You say third coach. So when you say third coach, that means three different type of systems.
Absolutely.
That one athlete has to endure through. And I must say he's endured it because a lot of guys get to their second coach.
Right.
They're gone.
Absolutely.
That foundation looks a little shaky, and we talked about that early on the show about the difference between, you know, programs and programs that are on the rise. As soon as a program that gets a little shaky, a lot of kids bail because they don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, so they don't stay. And from a mom standpoint, what do you tell your son when he comes and say, Ma, I don't know if I want to endure this again?
Well, I have to tell you that we were one of those people that were on the gate.
It's
the third time, and that's just the truth. At some point, we need stability.
Correct.
Sean is trying to do something big, and of course, he has to have a backbone
to
assist. I found out Saturday night, when I found out, I was in disbelief.
Uh-huh.
By 7:30 Sunday morning, I couldn't even enjoy church. It was constant phone calls, and I love Coach Moose. I think he was a great coach. He was a great step up from the first coach that we had, taking nothing from Coach Rodriguez.
Yes.
He was good as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we did a little bit more with Coach Moose.
Correct.
And I'm still friends with him to this day.
Yes. Hats off. And I tell you, for him coming into that program, for where it was at, and the things that he accomplished there in the short time,
mm-hmm.
my hats go off to him. And you got to understand,
absolutely.
Here with me, Moose is not only a coach that was at Chaminade.
Right.
I knew Moose when Moose was
a little Moose,
a youngster. and I don't call him Coach Milgram. I call him Moose because that's what I know him as. Moose played ball at St. Thomas with my brothers.
Absolutely.
Our families are intertwined together.
Right.
When his family hurt, my family hurt, and vice versa. So to me, Moose is like a one of those little brothers that you have from another mother.
Absolutely.
And I respect his journey. I respect what he's did there at the program, and I respect what he bought in and bought to that program.
Absolutely.
It made Jones' job a lot easier.
Yep.
Because you didn't have to come into there to get talent. Your talent was already there. Now, the biggest job that Jones had was convincing the parents and the kids that, hey, listen, I'm the coach for you. And I know the kids, and it probably was a roller coaster for them because they knew what he did at Hollandale, but what you're going to do at Chaminade with everything that's involved.
And this didn't happen in the offseason. This happened the night before.
The night before, yeah. This happened less than a 12-hour
span.
Yeah,
you're ready for the first football practice? You're nervous?
A 12-hour span.
Enjoy your last weekend. But by the way, your head coach that you love, he ain't going to be there anymore.
He's not here.
And there's a different guy walking in the door.
Absolutely.
And you got to all of a sudden trust him.
Yes.
And he's going to run a whole new offense.
Whole new offense. So, and that goes in, and to me, now I'm from a guy like Worm, and I'm doing my research, and I'm looking at college football, and I'm thinking, okay, my first question to you, okay, coach, you here, if I step foot on the field, what type of system are you running?
Yeah.
Because I gotta, you know, this is where that me come in. You know, I tell guys all the time, you better understand, Division I coaches, high school, everybody's looking out for self. You know, we preach that oh, you got to be loyal. Mm-hmm. And I tell people all the time, because I said at the college level, that lawyer thing, that lawyer thing is a one-way road. Absolutely. And that's coming from them. That's coming from you to them. It get kind of screwed and bent when it comes from them to you. Right. And they only stretch out that road when they got to get something from you. But if they don't got to get something from them, they that thing going to a twist and turn and bend. And that's why I tell parents, you got to make sure that you're putting your child in the best place for your child. Because at the end of the day, when that kid hurts, you got to be the one deal with it.
I think one of the godsends in this whole situation is, and to remind our listeners, we're talking about Sean Shivers, a guy that we have at 24/7 is one of the top 2018 all-purpose backs in the country, a guy that runs a 10-4 100-meter dash as a sophomore in high school. It's very rare. So you had Moose's system, 21 personnel, tight. You're going to be running sweeps.
You're running
two back system. Jones comes in and Worms' whole world opens up. You get one back and four receivers.
Can you imagine?
He's going to be in space with that speed.
You cannot hold him. Because all I got to do
I get excited for him.
A torch route with Worm is touchdown. Because guess what? Now that puts pressure on a linebacker. You're going to have to, really, what they're going to have to wind up doing, they're going to have to go to a dime package because they're going to have to bring in DBs. You can't play him with your average linebacker.
Yeah.
Because guess what? He's too fast. If I make a choice route, all I got to do is run a wheel route, and I'm out of there. And the average DB ain't going to keep up with.
And we're not just talking screens or bombs. We're talking speed sweeps. Speed. We're talking draws. We're talking things in space for a guy that only needs a little bit to hit the home run.
And I'm quite sure he's going to do little short sweeps, what we called at St. Thomas. We was calling it our 40 package to where I line up, and all I do is pitch it out real quick. And it's a race to the sideline at that point. And I know with his speed, he's going to be able to turn it up before he's going to outrun the average angle of a guy at the high school level.
And my crystal ball pick, and one of his favorites have been for a while, is Coach Snyder in West Virginia.
Yes.
And he's
yes.
recruited the world out of him. I didn't think we'd get to see Sean's talent in a spread until college.
To college, correct.
And now we're going to get to see it on Saturday night. Me and him would always talk, hey, Noel Devine, look what he's doing in that West Virginia system. In a couple of years, maybe you get to do that. Well, guess what? A couple of years just arrived.
And I'm quite sure some coaches that run that spread, because, you know, we tend to say certain guys that are I guys, that's the only type of systems that they can play in.
Yep.
Certain guys that are spread guys, you can't change them to an I guy. Right now, he's getting the best of both worlds.
He already showed he could do it in a system that doesn't ideally fit.
Yes.
And now he gets this.
Now he gets the spread. And I think now you look at a guy. And he's a guy that's unselfish, because spread offense tends to be an unselfish offense because of a simple fact. He's going to need that because they're going a lot of teams coming in to key on Sean Shivers.
Yep.
And that's where it's going to be a little patience.
He has another
that's
big
where it's
going
to come in at. Yes.
He has Xavier Williams. Yes. He has a D1 quarterback.
Yes,
so
that he does.
There will be balance.
That he does.
And Jones is used to that. Being at Hallandale they
correct.
Were loaded with D1 guys.
Yes.
They had, I thought, the best quarterback in the state last year in Tyler Huntley.
And he has that ability to relate to these young men.
No doubt.
And I'm quite sure that was also something that was in the mind. How much did that play in your mind, Joy, when it came to the decision-making that your family made?
You know, a lot of people don't really know this. And we tell this story to all the coaches that come through. We started at Fort Lauderdale Hurricanes.
Yes.
All of those kids, we were like 14 youth. And this school fell upon our laps. I had never heard of Chaminade. I'm a Dillard alumni.
I had never heard of
Chaminade ever. And it fell in our laps. Someone invited me to watch a game, a friend of mine. And I'm like, I'm not taking my child to whatever, however you say it.
She was Chaminade.
That's what other people say. So I'm like, I'm not taking my son over there. I just don't feel like it. But the thing is that a lot of the other schools said that he was too small.
Yes.
So at that point, when I went there, I went mm-hmm. first, and then I took him to a game. And the game I went to by myself was American Heritage and Chaminade.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched Sony Michel
correct.
Do his thing.
Yeah.
And I looked at this team and I said, I can see my son do great things here. I can see him being given a chance.
Yes.
So these four, five kids from my Fort Lauderdale Hurricanes come to this school, and then this is the outcome that you have today. So these kids have really built that program as one. So they have a brotherhood.
Yes,
and that was a big part of the decision that we made in deciding what school we were going to go to, whether we were going to leave, whether we were going to stay. And Sean's biggest thing is he's very unselfish. He's a very humble person, not because he's my child, but anybody that truly knows him knows that he's very humble. And his thing was, I probably can go somewhere and play right away, but then my brothers might not be able to go somewhere and play right away.
Hold on, Joy.
This is the essence of a team game.
Right, hold on. Yeah. We're live here at Dillon High School, and when I, listen, now you got to be, listen.
He's jumping the
listen,
game.
listen, we got the main man, and he always mess with me. We got the main man here, the commissioner, what I call Mr. Commissioner of Broward County, in the building. Oh, don't go nowhere, because we have the main man. And he tell this story. Me and him was just at the Man of the Year recipient award here in Broward County, and he tells this story all the time. And I can't help it that, you know, I was blessed with speed, and man, some things happen. But you're joining the Tony Sands show is my main man, Chris Smith, Mr. Commissioner.
I got the baton in front of this man.
Yes.
All my people up in the stands. My little girlfriend up in the stands.
Yes, yes.
I get the baton, and all I hear is, then I just saw elbows. Embarrass me in front of all my people.
Listen, I couldn't help it, but I had a job to do at the time. I had a job to get done, and I didn't know some years later that I would do that to the commissioner. It hurt, you know, we are in so many different places together. And listen, I tell people all the time, man, your job, man, what you've done here in Broward County is unbelievable, man. And that's with the youth here in Broward County. How much does that mean to you when you're able to give back to the community as a commissioner that you were brought up?
Well, as you know, growing up, playing Little League football in this community and jumping on the back of somebody's lawn truck that used to pick us up in the neighborhood. You know, you feel me? It was always a lawn truck or a pickup truck. Some man in the community that didn't find it robbery to reach back and help a little kid.
Correct.
And because I was blessed like that, you know, it feels good whenever I'm able to do things like the All-Star Classic, the football game we do every year.
Yes.
We're never able to do backpack giveaways and stuff. It's because somebody slowed down in that lawn truck, let a couple of us jump on the back and found it not robbery to give us a ride to the football field and then give us a ride back home.
Wow. I mean, and Chris, what you've done, and I've been to a lot of cities. You know, from California to Dallas to New York, but I've never seen a politician like yourself. And I don't even call you, I call you Mr. Smith, because when I say politician, that kind of do something to people. Mr. Smith here in Broward County, there's no one like you.
I appreciate it.
There's no one like you, and that's coming from the heart of, I'm quite sure, each and every person here in Broward County, because it's not every day that I see my commissioner jump across the fence. It's not every day.
Like it's no thing.
Yeah, like it's no thing.
This guy's still got it.
The first fence I
jump. When I, and this, so you're such a touchable person, and when you talk about commissioners, the average person really doesn't even get a chance to see who their commissioner is.
Mm-hmm.
But you make it your job that you are in your community, that each and every young face know who you are.
I appreciate it. Now, if you could have only slowed down a couple of years ago. If you could have only did like the women's team did today and dropped that baton, if you could have only did something like that,
maybe
I could have kept that girl.
I didn't mean, I didn't mean for your girl to say, wait a minute, hold on now. Listen, me and my girls came out here to watch this, and I told my girls, listen, that's my man right there. Wait a minute, hey, and they said, wait a minute, but your man looked like he's fading in the wind. I didn't mean for that to happen, but listen, man, to have you here on my show, man, is my pleasure.
And I appreciate all you do.
My pleasure,
I see y'all at Carter Park and all the other places, training the kids, not only in athletics, but in just being a man.
Yes.
Because sometimes, as I said about jumping on the back of that truck, it's not about coaching me in a sport.
Correct.
but just being a man and a role model in
life. Yeah, coach
me
in life.
And I mean, someone that's, you know, yes, gone on and done such great things to come back and just be a man in front of these kids, because there's a future commissioner, future state senator, the state
correct
rep, that's in one of your camps.
Yes,
that's going to be on the radio talking about you one day.
Yes.
Not that you done ran them down, but they jumped on the back of your truck and you actually taught them something. Not only how to get faster, but how to grow up and be a man. So I appreciate you, man.
Man, I thank you for joining the show, man. It's my pleasure. Every time I get a chance to see you, man, it makes me proud to be from Brock.
Still don't like you, because you embarrassed me in front of my people.
I didn't mean to embarrass you.
This is what we're gonna do.
This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna wind that back, and me and you gonna do a commissioner citizens race. We're gonna do a runoff. We're gonna set it up. We're gonna do a true runoff, and we're gonna set it up. And I'm gonna let you get some distance, because I still got a little bit of speed because I train. So I'm gonna let you get a little distance, because I don't wanna make sure, and we're gonna make sure there's no lights. So nobody can see. Only person gonna walk out the building is just me and you, and we gonna. And listen, I'm gonna say, hey, listen, guess what? He beat me this time.
Now you know, I know people.
Yes, that's why I said I gotta give you a big head.
So you get close to me.
I know.
And you see a red dot.
Listen, I just thought.
I know people. Get close to me if you want again.
That's why I said, guess what? I'm gonna let you get so far, and I thought he was here. Man, I beat him so bad. And when I'm going to say, man, whew, he beat me. He won. I don't want this. And I know you're probably going to be still. I said, man, where the Sands went? He done shot out of here. But I went the other way. Man, I went the other way because I wanted to do it. Man, listen.
It was just good. Hey,
thank you, man. And like I said, in the building here at this kickoff classic, you have the man of Broward County, Mr. Chris Smith.
Right.
Just joined the Tony Sands show. Thank you, man.
Good to see you, bro.
Thank you for it each and every time, man. My pleasure.
Thank you.
My pleasure. That is the man, Chris Miller. George, let's wrap this thing up on your points.
How about this, though? Like, where else in America can you see where we haven't even watched a play of this game yet?
Yes.
And I've seen at least 20 Division I kids walk in front of me from other schools that are here watching us. They're trying to get their fix in. They're here scouting. I saw a stats for Deerfield Beach, Booker T. Washington.
Yes.
The quarterback we'll see tomorrow night, Daniel Richardson, just walked by.
Correct.
Worm Shivers that we've been just talking about. And here's more coming.
And
I mean, there's at least 25 D1 kids that have walked in front of me in the last 20 minutes.
And it's only going to – can you imagine what Saturday night's going to be like where there's no other game? There's no other game in Broward County. But, George, wrap me up. We done got to Sunday to Monday. Let's get to that.
Coach Jones, you know, I wasn't the nicest person.
I know you – I know dealing with you. I know what it was like for Coach Jones. Trust me.
I wasn't the nicest. I was giving him a hard time. But he did something after the meeting we had on Sunday. They met with us on Sunday. We sat down and we talked. And Sean's mind was made up. We were gone. And Coach Jones came to me and he said, Mama, just give me a chance. Just give me a chance to try to fix, you know, let's try to fix this and just give me a chance. And I told him, I said, I tell you what, the guy sitting over there, go talk to him. Whatever he decides is what we'll do.
Exactly.
And apparently his conversation with Sean
whatever
was
he told him.
Well.
Hey, let's say, when they came out, Sean decided, guess what? This was home. So whatever Coach Jones, and I said, like I said, Coach Jones has a way. He understands these young men because he was one of these young men.
He's been
through it before.
Yes.
It's a unique situation. Just like when Art Briles had to resign at Baylor, all of a sudden you get a guy in Jim Grobe that doesn't know any of these guys. You don't know his background.
Correct.
And he has to come in and re-recruit every single one of them.
Yes.
Absolutely. And get them all on the same page. For him, I went to bet on this. For him to keep all those kids there outside of 1DN, that was incredible.
Man, that means he came in running. He couldn't even touch down. He had to come in running because of the timing. The next day, these guys were getting ready to start summer
camp. That's the one thing he didn't have was time.
I'm like, look at what you – I could imagine there was no sleep on in his house for at least a week. Because now, guess what? My kids are not – and I'm trying to understand my kids. I'm trying
to just learn their names.
Yes, I'm trying to understand them. I'm trying to understand the situation that they're in. I'm trying to give them that time to explore whatever they got to explore without trying to say, hey, listen, I want you to come and play for me. Look at what my body of work have done. Look what I've done.
I think Chaminade lucked out to have him as a free agent.
That
just sitting there that
he was going to go to Utah to watch his kids and Florida State and Georgia and all his college kids and enjoy a year off. And then all of a sudden,
and
flip off and you get to not only get a job, what you're doing,
but
a loaded roster too.
You know what I like about Coach Jones? Coach Jones listened
when
he came in. He didn't come in trying to be forceful
because
he knew the situation was a tough one. He came in basically he just kind of let the kids know, you know, I talked to him, and of course once I get in good with you, I try to guide you in the right direction. And I just told him that instead of trying to have whole practice go, you know, because the next day was going to be practice, instead of trying to hold practice, let's just get with the kids. You get with the kids, let's meet, and then you get a chance to get a feel of them. They get a chance to get a feel of you, at least for 2 days or so.
Yes.
And then we see how it goes. And it hit the ground running after that.
After that point, we decided Worm was going to stay at Chaminade.
Absolutely.
Joyce decided, hey, this is the best thing for me and my son. I don't know what everybody else think, but this is the best thing
for me and
mine.
That's
good,
because that's a tight-knit bunch, too, and a talented bunch. And you work all off-season to see what you guys did as a team, if it can come to fruition. And I'm glad that they all stayed together there and as a team.
Because, like I said, you couldn't have got a better guy.
Yes, he's great.
Those kids were blessed to have
no doubt
Coach Jones that fast.
Absolutely.
Because I'm quite sure that had to be boom, 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 bam, bam, to get him, to convince him to take this program. And because I'm quite sure he's thinking in his head, man, these kids going to leave. These kids going to leave. Less than 24 hours. I'm trying to take over a program to kids that love the coach that just left.
And he might be like, if they all left, he's like, I don't know if I want this anymore.
I don't
know
if I want to take it.
Absolutely.
But he decided that this is where he wanted to be, and it's a great opportunity for him, great opportunity for his kids. Joy, we'll see you again Saturday night in Buck Pride Country.
Running down the sideline.
And I know you're going to.
On
I know
the
gonna
regular.
Be, I know it's going to be.
I'm unlike any other mother. I run down that sideline. I'm running with my son.
Enjoys the Little League running up and down. So it is what it is. Joy,
absolutely.
Hey, it was a pleasure to have
you
joining
the
show.
Thank you so much for having me, and listen, I enjoyed it.
You know, you my girl.
Anytime.
We are down. Listen, don't be surprised if Saturday, before I kick off, we bring it on and we break it down. So I want you to get your research on Deerfield, and we're going to break down.
You're already on
that. I know you already on. But we're going to save it for the Deerfield game, because we're going to break that game down.
Absolutely.
Me and you and Ryan, we're going to break that game down, because that is a top game.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining
the
show.
Thank you so much. Thank
we're
you
live
for
here
me.
At Dillard High School, just speaking to Joyce, but I'm going to call her AKA Worm Mama, because that's what everybody call her.
Yep.
Around here, her identity is gone, because her son is who he is, and they call her Worm Mama. But Ryan, let's wrap it up. Let's close it out. You gave me an opportunity to predict this thing.
Oh, you're ready now.
Yeah, I had to do a lot. I got all my intel in. But hey, listen, guess who we just saw walk by?
The Iceman
himself.
One of the best high school coaches in the history of Florida.
Yes.
One of the best in the country.
Yes.
And what he does that I love, I mean, I love going, one of the best, sometimes for me, watching Booker T play a game is a letdown, because their practices
Correct.
Are that good.
Correct.
They're intense. He's going to tell his players what they need to hear, not what they want
to hear. Correct.
Tough physical practices, absolutely fun, no huddle,
yes.
no mercy, offenses.
Offenses, correct.
He's a guy that twice has been a coach on the college level.
College
He's
level.
Seen it
yep.
from both ends of the spectrum. Every year he has 10, 15 D1 guys, and a lot of times they're like, so maybe this is the year. And they reload, and they're back, and they're back.
Yes. In the building also, the main man in Broward County, Coach Rocky Gillis. I still call him Coach, because he still got that coach tied in him.
Yep.
I'm not going to call him Mr. AD, man. I'm going to call him Rocky Gillis, because that's what he is. He is, when I say the true instrument, I know he's not the head guy, but he is the true screw behind what goes on here in Broward County. And listen, he's done a wonderful job to athletics here in Broward County. And where he's taken it, he reminds me of Roger Goodell at the NFL level. Where he's taken high school football here in Broward County is unbelievable. And I know he's got to be prideful in a community that has had schools that are number one programs when it comes to putting Division I athletes at the Division I level and also at the NFL level, that's got to feel good to you when you are, when you know you're in Broward County and you know you are one of the figureheads of Broward County sports. Coach Gillis is the man. I tell him all the time. I just got the phone with him probably 2 days ago. We was just talking because I wanted to make sure that each and every time that I do something with the kid in Broward County, that I make sure that it's in the taste of Broward County. I don't, I, that's one thing about me. I want to make sure that we keep everything in line because he is that driving force behind Broward County athletics.
And there's no county in the country that has more national programs.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. Yep. And that's why I love it. And like you said, we've seen Division I talent. We've seen top-notch coaches.
Here's another one.
Yes. Right.
There's a whole bunch of them. We'll see these guys Saturday night.
Chaminade and their crew roll in. Warren Ward. This is Division I heaven right now. If you was a recruiter and you was able to be, all you got to do is sit in the stands. You ain't got to watch from the sideline. You just watch them walk by, and you just take your pick. Ooh, he looks good. He fits the ball.
Last 20 minutes, there's a team that's just as good as either of these that just walked through that are sitting in the stands right now.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Can you imagine? Then we go to American Heritage tomorrow, and then we come back to Deerfield on Saturday. You're talking about in the top 10 of top games in Broward in the state of Florida. Top 10 games in the state of Florida. Broward County, when you look at Chaminade, Deerfield, they got that ranked at number 10. The American Heritage, Booker T, they got that ranked number 1. The St. Thomas Deerfield, they got that ranked number 2 of kickoff classics. And we are talking about regular games that really have significant meanings to each one of these programs, but we're talking about bragging rights in each and every one of these games. We know what that Chaminade Deerfield game has been leading up to this. This been a it reminds me of that the two MMA guys that's been battling right now that's going to have a big fight on Saturday. That's what this has been like.
Yeah, I mean, just to sum it up.
Yes.
Dillard has 4 Division I defensive linemen.
Defensive linemen.
Thomas Aquinas has over 30 D1 guys with offers. Deerfield Beach has your number 1 wide receiving core in the country.
Correct.
Chaminade has a 5-star wide receiver in Xavier Williams to go with probably 12 other Division I guys. Tomorrow night, Booker T. Washington, that's won 4 of the last 5 state titles. Has 15 D1 guys, and to cap it off, American Heritage, Pat Surtain's bunch, they have 9 4- or 5-star guys on their roster, which is unbelievable.
Yes.
Top end, nobody has that. 1 through 10, they might be as good as anybody in the country. So you get all that back-to-back-to-back nights nowhere else but South Florida.
Closing out the show, my prediction of the American Heritage. I mean, out of the Deerfield Beach Chaminade game, I'm going 28-14.
Ooh.
I'm going 28-14.
41-27 here. Take the over.
41-27. 41-27.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're going to play their starters that long. I think they're going to play that first half. It's going to be like the NFL. They're going to play the first half, and they're going to yank them because they know there's big games coming up down the line.
For both of them.
For both of them. I'm going to say that's going to be a slow game at first because, they're going to want to pound.
Yep.
Chaminade. They're going to want to get ready. Deerfield's going to sling the ball all over the place. So I'm saying for a short period, that game's going to be pretty good, that first two drives. And then that thing's going to settle down. Deerfield will start scoring. They're going to pull their guys out. They'll let some of the young guys play. I can see a lot of their starters on both sides coming out. So, like I said, I'm going to say in that game, 28-14. And right here, before we leave this game here, the score here at Dillard High School, just in the first quarter, is 24-0, St. Thomas.
Huh.
24-0, St. Thomas.
Sounds like the crystal ball money on that one.
24-0 here. And like I say, this game is not a meaningful game. It's really, I call this game here every time, I call it an organized scrimmage because
glorified.
It's just an organized scrimmage. There's no special teams. And you better get used to that. Possibly that is the way this game is going to start going. NFL college, they're starting to try to eliminate special teams in these games. Boy, Division I is all over this building here. It is all over the place. It is an exciting place to be on this night. Tomorrow night, American Heritage. Saturday night, the place to be will be a Deerfield Beach to see the heavyweight fight between Chaminade and Deerfield Beach. I hate to see, and we saw that kind of view up at kind of got spilled over a little bit at the DBU camp.
Yep.
We know what this is going to be when both of those teams hit the field. So we're closing out here at Dillard. I'm Tony Sands with my main man, Ryan Bartow. Ryan, give him your closing.
Yeah, for all my info, you hop on 24/7 Sports. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Bartow, RyanBartow.
Tennessee.
Latest scoop, breaking news. Again, 350 school stops a year. So if you're big into football recruiting, football scoop, no better place than 24/7 Sports.
He's the man. He is the hardest working man in this industry. Don't, by far, there's no other guy that covers the nation the way Ryan Bartow covers the nation 24/7 Sports. Look at his crystal balls. They are what they are. They are just that. He's hitting them on the head when it comes to where guys are going, how long to stand. We got Hollandale that just walked in the building.
And what the score is going to be for high school games.
There you go. He's on it. That's why we love him when each and every time that he comes here on the Tony Sands Show. Hollandale has just walked in the building. Booker T, Chaminade, Deerfield, you name it. Everybody's here. At American Heritage is all over the place. So this is the place to be when it comes to high schools throughout the state. This game is here. I'm quite sure it's going to flip-flop tomorrow, and then it flip-flops even worse on Saturday.
Yep.
We're closing here from Dillard High School with the matchup between Dillard and St. Thomas. We will see you again here on the Tony Sands Show. Thank you.